This is Sunday morning, 7:14:24, and we're going to have a teaching called Great Grace. Great Grace. All right, go to Acts 4. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace. Great means as in a very broad application. Great. Grace is a divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Vine says it's the power and equipment to do ministry. Was it just them? Was it just on them? No, it's on us. Great grace is upon us to do what God is requiring us to do. All of them. Great grace was upon them all. All means all. If you are following the Holy Spirit like they did, then that great grace is upon you. Because that was the time where they, you know, saw people that were in need and they sold things and they distributed and all that stuff was going on in the church. No one lacked. It was a great time in the church. I don't know how long it lasted. All right. In a nutshell, grace is God's ability. God is not asking us to... He's not asking us to do whatever He's asking us to do on our own, not in our flesh, but by His grace. Not our own ability, but His grace. It is such a thing, this whole, especially the epistles, is all about putting the flesh under, isn't it? Putting the flesh under. Let God reign. Go to James chapter 4. Starting with verse 1 there. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I've certainly seen this come out since all the Nacera stuff. From Christians even. We need our money and we need our money now. And we need to just line them all up and just kill them all. I've heard that. Is that any different than the world? No, it isn't. That's why whatever system that God is bringing, like the word that Danny had, that they don't speak about it. What God gives you, you don't share with anybody else because it's not going to be equal. I heard Dr. Scott Young say that. Do you want justice or do you want equal? Because there's always going to be somebody squawking saying, you got more than me, that's not fair. You know, that's not the point. You either want justice or you want the same as everybody else. Moving forward, like he said, we're going to have to change our attitudes. We're going to have to forget the old world and move into the new and not bring it up. That's the only way we're going to move forward in this. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I tell you what I want to see. I want to see the opportunity that anyone wants to become a born-again Christian can be. I want to see everybody doing good and not struggling. We were talking about, you know, if they just got rid of the income tax, or if our inflation just went back to zero, we'd be hit sitting in high cotton already without any of the other trust and all that stuff that goes with it. I mean, what do you need? Whatever you need to get you through, isn't that all you need anyway? Isn't that a way the scriptures teach us we need to be? Don't take a thought about tomorrow. Let today stay today. Today, not borrowing trouble. Well, the Lord's got me on this, doesn't he? We're going to have an attitude shift. Talking about the shift, the Lord's talking about the shift. Sitting back, watching the white hats do everything, President Trump do everything, watching the military do everything. No, it's going to require you to do something. So we need to be on call. I know we are. But for whoever hears this, maybe you haven't heard this before. Maybe you need a smack on your behind. Wake up and quit being a Toys R Us church kid. This isn't about serving you and your wants and your needs. This is about taking the gospel into the kingdom. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. This is the way I felt yesterday. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't see it. I didn't see the grace thing until yesterday that I brought to you earlier. I'm sorry, Lord. I get it now. Help me to have a better attitude. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of it is evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. If thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. I don't know if you've observed it. Most everybody that I know outside this room, they just do what they think when they think. They decide we're going to move up so-and-so with their be around the kids and grandkids, buy our big house and get us a boat and all that. And that's what they're doing. And they ain't got a clue what's going on in the world. Not one clue. And they're churchgoers. I venture to say most of the pastors don't have a clue what's going on. And that's sad. I said, Lord, we're in worse shape than I thought. For me to just finally get this, that's a pretty bad sign right there. I'm pointing at myself too. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. He goes on to talk about, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Isn't that what we're going through right now? The wealth of the sinners now being restored to the righteous? Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Here we see a nutshell how most act in the world, even Christians. They do not seem to realize that their lives are not their own, but Jesus' blood bought them. Did I read 1 Corinthians 7 in the last teaching? I did, didn't I? Or last word? Well, let's go there. I was thinking that I did. But I guess not. Just a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 7, 23 and 24. No, I didn't read it. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therewith abide with God. I'll give you an example. I'm going to read it because I want to make sure I get the details down. Our last five house purchases have been ordained of God. We were not seeking the financial experts when to buy. We moved with the Spirit of God. Too many Christians just seek the world's advice, or even Christians that are in that area of finance, to get the information on what they want to do. How about what God wants? Whatever God wants, it will not matter what the market is doing. He, by grace, makes a way. We don't operate on that system. And that's really what this reset is about, to learn to operate on God's system, not where we've been. Several years ago, Danny wanted a King Ranch pickup. There was none to be found. All the ones coming in were already promised to other people. They were several months out if you ordered one. It just so happened that God gave Danny a picture of the exact, 6 months, okay. Anyway, I probably ought to let you tell it, but anyway, the Lord gave Danny a picture of the vehicle, just the one they wanted in his heart. He got an agreement with that, and within a day, they were calling him saying they had such King Ranch, exact one that he had pictured in his spirit, and nobody had claimed it. And if he wanted it, it was his. That's how God does things. Who cares what the markets say? Who cares what the financial experts say? It doesn't matter in the kingdom of God. All right. They will never be able to compete with God. We have great grace at our fingertips to access whatever we want from God if we'll wait on Him instead of going and doing what we think is best. Haven't you had enough of your own mistakes? Your flops. Yeah. You no longer have to live under a hit and miss. If you'll just wait long enough to get God's mind on it, He'll tell you exactly what to do. You know, we've had several young people come in this house and ask, how do you get a house like this? One of them thought, well, I'm going to go to California. That must be where it is. I'm going to California. Hell hold the earth. Come on, California. You know, I'm thinking, where do they get these thinking? Television, social media. Well, we began to talk to him. Well, you follow God. That's how we got this house. And it didn't just happen. We didn't just live in that little apartment, one-bedroom apartment, and we moved in the next week in this. No, it took many years to do so. You know, I think, well, I wonder if they heeded that advice or not. We've given that advice to several young people. In fact, one here lately, we gave a book on God's finances. I remember one time there was a lady that was one of Danny's mother's friends, and she's a widow, and she was struggling. And my mother-in-law asked me to pray, and I went to the Lord, and the Lord said, send her obedience and finances. So I gave it to my mother-in-law. She said, I can't send that to her. So I sent it to her. I mean, are we here to help? Are we here to do, well, I can't do that. They'll think less of me, or they won't like me anymore. Do we want to help people? Isn't that what serving God is about, is helping people, giving them the truth, showing them the truth, to help get them out of trouble? But He giveth more grace. All right. James 4:3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. A lot of that going on. And then James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Grace for those that do it his way, and no grace for those who don't. There is an evil tendency for men to plunge ahead and do things their own way. What are we experiencing now? Since the days of Noah until present day. All right. If you spend your whole life doing this and that, you have wasted your life. Just living by the seat of your pants or just living the way you thought was best, you've wasted your life. But you don't have to waste any more. God is teaching us to access His grace for everything. We don't have to live with the boundaries of, no, it's not possible to get that. If you order it today, it'd be 6 months before it got here. Says who? God knows where it is. And His angels don't have any problem transporting it. They won't even charge you for it. Is it the truth? We've seen it happen. He makes a way where there seems to be no way because He knows everything about everything. So why wouldn't you go to Him about everything? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Trust yourself? No. Because our human, like we were talking about the flesh today, one day we're up and one day we're down. One day we might have some good advice and the next day we may not have it. But God doesn't. He's not a man. And He doesn't lie. See, you can trust it. You can trust Him. I did hear a podcaster say yesterday, he said, you can always trust your intuition. And then he said, you can always trust the Spirit of God in you. Always. Telling people, you can hear what everybody has to say, but here down here is where you better be listening. And this is where we be walking from now on. That's what the Spirit's been saying. Everything's going to be in upheaval around us, but we're walking by the solid rock right here. All right. Grace is God's ability. We've gone our own way and tried to do what we needed to do in our own ability. Those are the works of the flesh. To obey God, we must learn to do what we do by His grace. This means you will be weak in your flesh. Weak flesh, strong grace. Strong flesh, no grace. Remember that. Say that again. Weak flesh, strong grace. Strong flesh, no grace. Paul said this. This is 2 Corinthians 12, which I read in the last deal. I know I did, but we're going to read it again. It is worth repeating. 2 Corinthians 12. I thought I read it. Okay. 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me, regardless of whether you're an apostle or whatever God calls you to do, the revelation that I receive as an apostle to you, you are also part of that. You're receiving that revelation. You've got a higher revelation than most Christians do. And what's required of you when you get the light? To walk in it. And when you walk in the light, guess who trusts? We won't even go there. All right. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me lest I should be exalted above measure. Why? He wants you back in the flesh. He wants to control your life. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Can you understand now why you are where you are? God's led us here. Now, back when this started 10 years ago, we wouldn't have been ready. But he's gotten us to this point. We finally got it. Here's my thoughts on this process. Grace is when you stop doing stuff and begin to look to God for whatever you need to do. Lord, what is your solution for this situation that I find myself in? Will pressure cause you to take it into your own hands? Or will you submit solely to the Father of spirits and live? I'm here to tell you today, you can trust Him. And one day I'll be able to share why I can say that. But I've learned just for the last few weeks, you can trust Him. You don't have to be afraid. Jesus is our perfect example of this, okay? This is Matthew 26. You know, we have been so used to the world systems that we think we can't do certain things without it. We were never made for that system. That's the enemy system. Matthew 26:38. Boy, some people balk when you say that one. I can't handle that. What are we supposed to do then? Trust God? Oh, well, can't do that. Matthew 26:38-39. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face, praying, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He had the grace to go to the cross. Same way as with his temptation right here. This is Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And this is when the devil started tempting him. His flesh was so weak. But you know what? In the temptation, he nailed it. Sent the devil packing for a season, it says. I know before I started walking through what I'm currently, one of the things I'm walking through, the Lord told me, cut your consumption to about half. And maybe if I hadn't, I wouldn't have been able to stand the way I had to stand. Because we like to baby that flesh. Weak flesh, great grace. Are y'all seeing it different today? Do you get it? We nearly lost our earth because fear is making the call instead of faith. And that's no joke. If Hillary Clinton had gone in, we would all be dead. That's a fact. Her and Obama had it all set up. God has given us insight here that I have never heard before from anyone else except the Apostle Paul. He knew. We're going to see what he said. Acts 13. You talk about a different church when people are going to know about this. What's it going to do? It's going to mature them. That's what it's going to do, just like it has you and me. Now, Now there were in that church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. I read this Wednesday night. And when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, so it is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." Immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and there went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So what was going on here? Fear. Fear. No grace. No grace. What does that do? Cause you to draw back. Your flesh causes you to draw back. When the flesh is in the picture, it causes you to draw back. Well, okay, we're going to look at one other scripture. This is Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now Paul, it steamed him for sure. And then Barnabas later wants to take John Mark with him, and he said, absolutely not. And so it split up their ministry. Barnabas took John Mark. Paul got acquainted with Silas. Silas was the one who went into the jail with him, and they sang praises to God, and the angel shook the prison. Yeah. The grace is there to help you to move forward in difficulty when your flesh is weak. That's why the medical system is a crutch. It's a crutch. It's caused the body of Christ to not mature in that part of it, which is, to me, is just such a massive part of it. Yeah. All right. I must admit that we have become content to stay in our little holes because it's more comforting. I don't believe God is pleased with that. He never meant for us to hole up in our homes, but to take His grace and move forward. And this is another thing that I didn't like what the Lord said, but I said, you're right. How many things do we make decisions on because we don't really feel good and we don't really want to mess with it, so we just stay home? You know what? The grace is not going to kick in when your flesh is strong. It's when you're your weakest is when the power of God is the strongest. Well, the Lord just had us closed in. I don't know if the Lord has done that or if we have. I think we have. Now, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm looking at myself saying, Lord, I know there's things that I used to do all the time that I don't do anymore. It's because I don't want to. I don't feel like it. When do we walk by our feelings? Never. I'm spanking myself. I'm saying, Lord, help us to get this. Now, I'm not saying go where He said not go. But my thing is this. We've got to get our minds off ourselves and onto a dying world out there. Like I said, we're to be led by the Spirit. I don't believe it's just something you just take off on your own and do another fleshly thing. I'm saying be led by the Spirit, but be open to leave the house when you don't want to, if He tells you to. I'll say, well, Lord, I can do it. Your grace is sufficient. I didn't want to do the TV shoot this time. I didn't want to go to lunch the other day. But I said, I'm going. And it was okay. His grace got me through. Doesn't make any difference. It always will. We don't worry about how we feel. All right. This is the new you. If you're going to follow God, you will have to get used to it. This is the way Paul moved, and he had a lot of trouble. Now, we know about his trouble, but he also had great grace. God's glory operated him in a place where we've never seen anybody operate in. I haven't. All right. It's always easier to stay home and not deal with things, but we can no longer have that attitude. We can no longer let how we feel get in the way. We do not walk by how we feel, but by faith. The Spirit of grace yokes up with us to help us do what God is requiring of us to do. He has purposely brought you to this weak place. So you will hear Him. Listen to Him. Obey Him. All right, go to Matthew 11. Well, let's just start with 28 there. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the Master's yoke. It's grace. Lord, I'm taking your grace on me. You're come alongside to help me go do this thing I don't want to do, but I'm going to do it because I know you want me to do it. And you'll supply the grace for me to do it. He doesn't want you doing it in your flesh. So what does he have to do? Knock that flesh down. Slap it around. Paul said, I buffet my body and I bring it into submission. You just get up and say, oh, shut up. Look in the mirror and say, oh, shut up. What's your order, sir? What would you have me do today? Because he'll give you the strength. The power and the ability through His grace to do it, no matter what. I think that's all of that. Let me see. I may have one more scripture. Let me look. Well, I got a few more. Okay. The yoke of the flesh has to be taken off and yoke up with grace. The Lord's yoke is grace. All right. Galatians 5. This whole chapter is about that very thing. Fallen from grace by the works of the flesh. Get a drink. Verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Just talk about that. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. In other words, that's that walk of the flesh, the circumcision. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Ah! Fallen from grace by the works of the law. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet practice circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such thing there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. Kind of says it all, doesn't it? Fallen from grace by the works of the flesh. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, the affliction is light compared to the glory. In conclusion, our go-to guy is to be the Lord in everything. He knows all, sees all, and if there's something we need not seek those of the world to get it unless the Lord directs us to them. When you stay in the grace, you will run a successful race.